So I do have a special song. Can I do that for you?
Sure.
Is that okay?
Do you want some of this
I will do it. Okay. I can do it. I just wanted to share a few little scriptures. Some of them I've already shared, but Ecclesiastes 1:9, we're not going to turn there, but that's something that you could think about later. Ecclesiastes 1:9 talks about that there's nothing new under the sun. And a lot of people like to argue and say, well, but there are new things under the sun. They didn't have cell phones when Jesus was walking around. But the fact that there's nothing new under the sun in regards to our experiences, the things that motivate the heart of man, and the things that we are influenced by, those things are not new. What? Can you hear? What? Did you say something? Yes. So those things are not new. Those things are not new. So while we might have new fashions, right? Like we didn't have Nike shoes when Jesus was. So yes, we understand the concept of new things, new items that we all use that maybe Jesus didn't have. But there's nothing new under the sun in the sense that our experiences, what men are motivated by, what they're influenced by, and how people, those influences and those motivations are sometimes then reflected out to us and how we're treated. So that's the thought that I have, is that, you know, and I already said it to you that before, that we must have the perspective that this life is not going to be perfect, but rather having the perspective that this life is preparing me to take in all of him, and in that sense that I'm prepared for the best life, which is eternal life with him. The other verses I already read, 2 Corinthians 5:19. You guys can look that one up at some point, or actually, you know what, let me read that. 2 Corinthians 5:19. And I am, here lately, something I've been doing is, I love King James Version. I love it. I love it a lot, and I read it most of the time. But here lately, I've been digging into the Amplified Bible, which sometimes I just like to do that. 2 Corinthians 5:19, that is that God was in Christ. Now really listen to that. God was in Christ. He was making a judicial decision when everybody gathered together, the Romans and the Jews, put Jesus on that cross, reconciling the world to himself. That was a judicial act. That was something that God said, yes, it must be done for the whole world. Like Sister Jennifer just said, it was a judgment that's been sentenced and said, okay, the sin problem has been covered. The debt that is owed. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting the people's sins. See, there's the judgment. Not counting the people's sins against them, but canceling them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. That is, he is restoring us. He has that restorative power and favor towards God. And then in Hebrews, and I touched a little bit on that, but these were just some little points, some little nuggets the Lord pointed out to me. But in Hebrews 12, verse 4, and actually, I want to look at this. Hebrews 12:3, in the Amplified Version, it says, just consider, and I love that, just consider and meditate on him, that is Jesus Christ. And what did he endure? He endured from sinners such bitter hostility. The bitter hostility, anything in your mind, and you know, our forgiveness subject this weekend, anything in our, any hurdle in our pathway where we think a block. Sister Pat brought it up. Generational things where family members say, well, you know, Uncle so-and-so was a certain way, or whatever the situation might be. We know that there's some terrible situations. There can be incest in families. There can be such terrible, terrible conflicts and abuse that I think some of us would maybe be just aghast to think at what goes on. But just consider and meditate him who endured from sinners such bitter hostility against himself. Consider it in all in comparison with your trials, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. We have to remember in all of our struggling, have I ever struggled to the point of shedding blood? In all of my heartaches? In any of the horrible, awful things, and some of us could get up and recant some of the terrible, awful things, but in any of those hostile things, did it result in you striving and shedding blood for sin? No. The answer is no, it didn't. And so the other thing, too, is that in Hebrews 12:14, it says, continually pursue peace with everyone. Now, listen, sometimes people will show themselves not to be trustworthy. Now, there is wisdom. The Bible tells us to be wise as doves, but gentle as doves, but wise as serpents, right? So the beauty of that wisdom is, would you just go up and embrace someone that's got a loaded gun, locked and loaded for your life? Are you going to go up and embrace them? So there's, you see the wisdom, and we have to understand, that's where we press into the Lord a little bit more. We know who to trust. It's not that we don't wish peace and we want peace amongst ourselves, but there's certain people that the Lord has to teach us. You don't trust this person. It's okay to love them. It's okay to pray for them, and we should. But is that, and we can have that peaceful feeling with each other, but do we always trust? See, that is something that's got to be worked on and worked out, and that's okay. So I don't think we don't need to blur the lines with, I've forgiven this person, and it's okay if you don't trust them. I think everybody needs to understand that that's okay, and that's wise. But it says in Hebrews 12:14, it says, continually pursue peace with everyone and sanctification, without which no one will ever see the Lord. And what I thought was so beautiful about that, in Matthew 5, Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers. Because just like as God, it was a judicial thing that he put his son on the cross. So blessed are the peacemakers. Why? We are exhibiting the character of God, his very character, when we choose peace. Even if you might not even feel that peace, but like when you say, Lord, I choose your peace in this situation, even though right now I'm not seeing it, I don't necessarily feel it in my heart. Because how many of us know it takes a long time sometimes to get our heart and our brain in sync with the very peace of God? But it's there. It doesn't mean it's not there. Okay, I do have a song. Is that okay? Okay. So I'm going to share this song with you, and I thought it was really sweet. I was praying for the ladies' retreat, and it was just the Holy Spirit. He put these two songs together. I'll do my best to sing from over here. Okay? There's no microphone. And then the only thing that I want to tell you is, when I get to a certain point, when you know the song that I sing, because you'll know the song that I sing, and I want you to sing it with me when I get to that point, okay? And then after this, we'll have his sister Christy Rogers. Thank you.
that's what the Lord showed me, is when we apply the blood to
2024, I couldn't walk. Doing pretty good, huh? Yeah. The healing of God. Amen. He asked me if I had, the surgeon asked, have you ever been in a really bad accident? Because, man, your neck is bad and your back is bad, and but it's not as bad as your neck. And I'm like, I don't care, just fix me. I can't walk. And he said, I said, no, I haven't been in any bad accident or anything. I forgot I had a riding lawnmower. My yard is not even. So all those years of bouncing on the, you know, yeah. But the Lord works in mysterious ways, and he's helping me day by day to get stronger legs. Okay, so I was going to get up here and say ditto, ditto, ditto to everybody that spoke so I could leave, and I guess I can't, so you're just going to have to listen. And I'm old, so I can't remember real good, so I'm probably going to read this a lot. So, sorry. Okay. I'm going to speak tonight on grace, forgiveness, and forgetting, and grace. Because when I first met Gavin's mom and dad, they had his dad had quite a testimony. He was a Christian when I met him. He loved the Lord. But there was a time that he did not love the Lord. And so when Gavin's mom, when they had four children, dad would go out drinking and spend their money. This is Gavin's mom and dad. They would go out and spend money, or he would, drinking and entertaining women. And he would bring whoever he was with that night home with him and have Gavin's mom wait on her. And the four kids were there and saw it, you know. So they didn't have a close relationship with their dad. Well, then dad's brother went to Grace Meeting in Oklahoma, and he brought dad to the Lord. And dad loved the Lord when he found him. And he had gotten a vasectomy. So they weren't supposed to have any more children. Well, the Lord had other plans, and he had three more sons. They had three more, and Gavin, my husband, was the youngest of seven. So I was thankful it didn't take. But he and the last three boys were very close because he was a Christian. He was saved. So he had a wonderful time with them, raising them and such. The older four, now I shouldn't say this about Carolyn and Beverly, but Marvin and Mary, the two oldest, remembered what he was like growing up, and they had no forgiveness in their heart for him at all. And and mom told me once, she said, you know, I forgive him, but I can't forget. Never forgetting. And I thought about that because I've had terrible things happen in my life to me that are unforgivable normally, you know. And for me, it was really hard to forgive these people because it hurt me to my core. And, you know, it's easy to forgive someone if they say something bad to me or something. Because, you know, quite frankly, sometimes I deserve it. And so it's like, you know, the Lord is my avenger. And the really, really soul-breaking things, I just never could forgive. And so this study was powerful to me, and it helped me. I had already forgiven by this word, but it confirmed everything in me that the Lord's been teaching me the past few years about forgiveness. And it is hard to forgive, but my goodness, it makes you struggle in your walk if you don't. You can't truly tell people about Jesus and his love if you're having this unforgiveness towards somebody that is a Christian or that isn't. And forgetting, oh my goodness, that's part of forgiving. You have to forget. Your sins are forgotten, aren't they? I'm getting way out of proportion. But anyway, I was wondering in my life how many times I've sinned. How many times have I not even known it, but I've sinned? You know, you don't think about it every day. Oh, am I sinning if I do this? I don't know. I have forgiven myself several times. I've had to because I'm an idiot. But I've had to forgive myself several times for being an idiot. It was spoken today by Marilyn and by Vicky, 70 times 7. Is that right? You spoke on it too, right? Yeah, so I'm not going to speak on it. So I just know that, you know, if Jesus took my sins away, and I wasn't even born yet when he took them away. Do you realize that? You weren't even born yet and he took your sins away. Then how can I not forgive someone who's trespassed against me? You know? How can I not forgive them? And he suffered. The Lord has been impressing upon me how much Jesus suffered on that cross. How much he took for us. You know, and the greatest thing, nothing made him suffer so much as when his father turned his head and couldn't look at him because he had all of our sins upon him. That spoke to my heart, you know. It really spoke to my heart that God, in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. You know, that's why he did it. Luke 23:34, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What sweet words of grace and forgiveness. Forgive them. My goodness, how could I not forgive what happened to me in my childhood with my, I had a similar childhood as Leela. I always wondered what it would be like to grow up a normal child and be able to play freely and to see other kids freely without having this one thing in my life. And I too blamed myself for it. And it's a hard thing when you grow up with physical abuse and sexual abuse. It's a hard thing. And you carry it all your life. And you try not to think about it. But then something comes up and you think about it again. And when Oprah Winfrey came to be, and she had this big old thing about sexual abuse on, I couldn't watch it. I didn't want to be reminded. I didn't want to hear what anybody had to say about it. So I ignored it most of my life. And then the Lord brought it up in my heart because I hadn't forgiven anyone yet and worked it in my life so that I could. He showed me about unforgiveness and how it can destroy you from the inside out. So let's read Romans 5, 1 through 5. Therefore, being justified, just as if I'd never sinned, by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Only faith in Jesus and his peace. By his peace, we can get through our lives and whatever has happened to us. I always feel a peace in my heart. I always do, no matter what happens. I feel a peace. And I know that's from the Lord. I know it is, you know. There's no other way to explain it. by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Tribulations can mean anything. It can mean physical or mental. It can be financial. It can be marital. It could be anything. So tribulation works patience. Patience, experience. Experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. So, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. I didn't come to the grace message until I was 18 years old. And I barely went to church until I went to Kansas City for Bible college. And I didn't know the word. And so, when I read that verse, maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us, I felt relieved at the least. I was joyful in the fact that I didn't need to be ashamed of my childhood. It wasn't my fault. Something happened, and the Lord was there with me. He saw to it that he was always with me. I was taken to church, to Sunday school. My mom saw to it that we got to go to Sunday school at least, either with a pastor on a bus or whatever. And he spoke to me, I don't even know how old I was. I went in a dress. I was little. I took a can of food with me or a nickel with me to help the church. And all three of us girls did, four of us. And he saw to it, the Lord saw to it. From that first moment I went, I knew there was something there. I remember a pastor preaching hellfire and damnation, and I saw the older women weeping with their handkerchiefs, and I thought, I need to find out what that is. I don't even know how old I was, but it intrigued me, and I feel like the Lord had his hand upon me all of my life, and in my 20s, I felt like my life was a long hallway. I could look down a long hallway, and it had doors on each side, and each door opened from one trial to the next trial, to the next trial. And each door was preparing me for that trial, and then that one, and then that one. And it's just, the Lord truly does. If you try to look at your trials as a learning experience from God, he will teach you. I promise you, he will teach you why you're going through that trial. And sometimes the trial is so severe that you can't see it right then. But everybody is praying for you. Even when you cannot pray, there is somebody praying for you. I learned later in my life that my aunt that I didn't know was praying for me. And my grandmother that I didn't know was praying for me. And my mom's mother was praying for me. They were praying for all of us. But I felt like that's why the Lord kept his hand upon me, was through those prayers. So when you want to pray for, if somebody's wronged you, you know what I do? I pray for them. What a relief that is. When I start praying for them, the burden lifts off me. And I'm no longer burdened by that person and what they did. I just start praying for them. Unfortunately, when I realized that, of course, this person was dead, but that's okay, you know, the Lord, he had to deal with the Lord, and that's good, you know? So, let's see. So, let's read Matthew 6, 14 through 15, and Mark 11, 25. They're both the same thing. They're just talked about in different ways. So I don't know where I am in this, so I'm just going to read scripture, and maybe I'll have something to say. So Matthew 6, 14 and 15. But if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Man, I want to be forgiven of my sins, don't you? And if we can't forgive somebody for trespassing against us, for sinning against us, what are we going to expect the Father in heaven to do? I want his forgiveness most of all, because I have to answer for that. So I want his forgiveness most of all. And Mark 11:25 says essentially the same thing. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is heaven, may forgive you for your trespasses. So, you know, that's a big thing. That's another reason why we should forgive. John 17:17. Sanctify them through truth. Thy word is truth. Oh, my goodness, the truth. Yes, we are sanctified through Jesus and God's truth by studying the word. That's the only way we're going to learn God's love and forgiveness and what Jesus did on the cross for us is by studying the word. And 2 Timothy 2:15. See, I'm not a pulpit person either. Again, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, some people would call you a Bible thumper or some other terms if they find out you study the word and you love the Lord. And who cares? You know, I pray for them. I pray for them because I want them to be a Bible thumper. I want them to read the word and become a Christian. So I pray for them. And John 8:32 says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen. Free from forgiveness, free from sin, free to show God's love to others as the Lord reveals it to our hearts. John 1:14, and the word is made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 16 says, and of his fullness have we all we received, and grace for grace. Growing in grace and truth, God calls us to grow in balance. Truth is what sanctifies, guides, and directs us. Grace is what saves and sustains us. James 4:6, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, Paul said, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. There's been so many times I've gone through trials physically, and I felt so weak. But it's when I'm in that trial that God teaches me. He's taught me so much in my trials, and I feel stronger spiritually because of it. I may not be strong physically after it, but I feel stronger spiritually because of it. And then we see Paul was persecuted a lot in prison and suffered daily from an affliction in his body, and yet he counted it all joy that he could suffer with Christ. I actually thank God for my tribulations. And it started in 1984 when I had both of my hips, both of them replaced within a month of each other. And, you know, I praised God for letting me go through that trial because it brought Gavin and I closer together. And I always felt that was my ministry that God gave me, that people could see how I reacted to my body and to my inactivity that I had, or they would watch me. I know my family watches me to see how I'm going to react to something else that happens to me. And I just figure people do, you know, if you have something wrong with you, they're going to watch you mm-hmm. and see how you manage it, see if you show Christ in your life through it. So I always try to show Christ in my life. I praise the Lord that he didn't hold any grudges against me when Jesus died, his only son, because he didn't hold grudges against mankind. He said, your sins are gone, when Jesus died on the cross. The Bible encourages us to forget our past sins, forget when people hurt us through physical or mental pain. Only then can we embrace our new life in Christ. We can put our trust in God and move forward in his grace, love, and truth by faith. When we walk in Christ, we have trials that will cause us pain and sorrow brought on by Satan, but allowed by God for our, what does Romans 8:28 say? All things work together for good to them that are called, to them. Help me out here. Amen. So I praise the Lord for that verse. Maybe someone will offend us in some way or hurt us deeply, but we know that in God we have the perfect forgiveness. Let's see. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Ephesians 2:4-5, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Verse 8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So many churches today think you have to work for your salvation. Oh, I feel so bad for those people, that they are blinded to the truth, to God's word. I'm thankful that I know that nothing I could do in myself would justify me being saved. It's only by my faith in Christ and what he did on the cross that I am saved through grace. And I thank the Lord for that. Philippians 3:13-14, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, forgetting the sins that I did against God, forgetting what people did to me in the past, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. And I don't want to remember them. I want to forget them all is what I'm trying to say, forgetting those things which are behind. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That was Paul's testimony. And Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all things, put on charity or love, which is the bond of perfectness. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If Christ can forgive us our sins, how can we not forgive others and ourselves? Not forgetting, we also must not forget when Christ helps us through a trial, when God forgives us for our sins. Psalm 103:2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Amen? So I have an equation at the end. It says Jesus equals love, equals forgiveness, equals forget, equals Jesus. Amen. And I just praise the Lord for this study that I had, even though I didn't want to speak tonight. This will be the last time I speak. Where is she? I am not a speaker, but I wanted to give you what the Lord gave me, and I praise the Lord for that. Okay, this is the end of the... Well, we're having dinner still, aren't we? I forgot about that. Oh, yeah. Jesus equals forgiveness. Oh, Jesus equals love, forgiveness, forget, and equals Jesus. Yeah. It does. It's an eternal circle. Amen. Thank you, sweetheart. Is dinner ready? Shall we pray over dinner?
Yes. Can I say one thing?
You can. Please add to it or tell me what I did wrong. Yes.
So in past years, Velma comes and Michelle comes and who else?
Let's see, Melanie?
Yeah, Melanie has, but I'm trying to think of the ones that's holding it. Jeanette?
Oh, yeah.
Jeanette? Yes, Jeanette. Well, we didn't really pray for Jeanette. She hasn't even been coming to church. Yeah. So, I mean, she doesn't even want to get out of her house or whatever. So that's really hard on her. But Thelma had wanted me to greet you all. Her husband, Cass, has prostate cancer. And when I was asking her if she wanted to come to the retreat, she said she just didn't feel comfortable meeting her husband at this time. So I just wanted to, she asked me to send her greetings to you all. And Michelle asked me to send her greetings to you all. She did herself last year with activities, and she just felt like she needed to pull back and rest more this year. I don't think people realize, but she battles some things in her body. So, we don't always know what's going on behind the scenes in people's lives. And it seemed like there was one other person that I'm having to... Oh, it was Brittany Nieto.
Oh, yeah.
Brittany Nieto likes to come. She drove with me last year. And she's such a darling, and she loves to come. But she had to have surgery, and she had it about 2 weeks ago. And it was feminine surgery for endometriosis, but it turned out to be a humongous surgery. It was an 8-hour-long surgery. So anyways, she said to greet you all, she loved you all, and she would miss being here. But, you know, if you think of her, pray for her healing, it's probably going to be a fabulous recovery for her. But anyways, I was given instructions, and I needed to follow those instructions. So it's been precious to be here. Thank you.
Did you hear me up there? Is dinner ready? Carolyn? Okay, I don't have much of a voice to sing anymore since they did the last surgery on me to help me walk again. They went in the front of my throat and the back of my neck, and that kind of messed up my vocal cords. It's getting a little better, but I dry out really fast. So you want to... Do you want to sing? Okay.
Is the other piano player gone now?
Yes.
Okay. So she asked her, you're going to lead it, right, Kara?
What's that?
You're going to lead the song?
Yes.
Okay. So I'll play the piano.
They have this nice book of all the Grace Morgan songs. They're in this nice big binder. I like it.
Stacey. There's another one there behind you, too.
But I...
Stacey did that.
I took it. I took the song, and I needed to put it back.
No, here's it. If you want to sing from... here's one.
Do we have a request? We'll take a closing request.
45?
Dinner's not ready. Dinner. Okay, so we're going to sing Standing on the Promises, not song number 45. Okay? You are welcome to stand if you would like to stand, please. standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Okay, we had a request for 156. We will sing it. The Goodly Pearl. 156.
Oh, I love this song.
Can we do it in
Can we do it in
flats?
A request for flats.
Thank you.
We have a testimony that this was Sister Bodie's favorite song. I did not know that. Down in the ocean billows whirl, I went to seek a goodly pearl. I found one there in depth of sea. Oh, I love the pearl of matchless worth that brought me all the way to earth. I chose to leave the course above. My heart was fixed upon my love, my undefiled, my truth, my dove. None can compare with thee, my love. O pearl so fair, my proud, my friend, I'll love thee ever without end. My cup is full, I'm satisfied, I've gained my pearl, thou art my pride. A jewel rare of life and sheen, to sit with me, a royal queen. My undefiled, praise you, Lord. And that's the work he's doing in our lives. Like, what is it, the story with Isaac and, is it Rebecca? When basically, you know, that pearl of great price, she's got that attitude, I will go. Will you go with this man? And all the evidence she had was, you know, which was sufficient evidence, was the amazing, the all this caravan that he had, this wealth that Eliezer brought with him. You know, hey, that's a picture of what we have with the Holy Spirit, all of the choice blessings that God has for us. But having that spirit, the song we just sang, that I will go type spirit, and those camels, he knows that those camels are pictures of our trials, and he knows those things that will perfect that pearl and make us ready for that. What a beautiful hope that we have. The Lord's coming soon. We don't know when, but it's soon. It's not an if, it's a when. All right, let's, do we know if dinner is prepared? Oh, we don't know if it's prepared. It's getting prepared. Okay, does anyone have a testimony that they would like to share or a...
Yeah, do you want to do it now?
Can we do it?
Sure, of course.
Yes, and was there one more testimony too? We could probably do a song and a testimony.
So I need the music here. I think.
Oh.
In that. You got down here? I need the music because I'm going to play for them. Do you girls need your own music? I need to probably give it to you. Here, it's called As the Deer. Sorry. I didn't know if they were going to have to sing it tomorrow morning, Sue, because I'm speaking so loud. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, who needs music? You all have it?
Yeah.
Everybody does?
Yeah.
Glory to God. That's wonderful. Okay.
Great.
Okay. Wonderful. Oh, okay. So we did practice this a little bit at home, but we're a little rough draft here.
Okay.
So introduction is
Okay.
review of the loan and the Heart Society, that's an introduction, okay? Then you come in, and you don't need a break. So at the end, we sing, we repeat, so praise the Lord. Here we go.
You have a piano break between verses 2 and 3. I forgot to look at my notes now. Okay? Love hearing everybody. But Brother Phil had a son.
son, John Hill. He was a mailman. He's the man who brought the gospel to me when I was in my third year in college at the University of Denver. And we would argue, I was saved as a child, but I didn't know any truth at all, not really anything. But we would argue, because I thought I was smart, because I was in college, but you know, the word of God just cuts straight through to your heart. So I knew, I mean, I felt foolish, so I didn't tell him that, but I did feel really foolish trying to argue, because you can't really argue with the word of God. You think you can, but you can't. But anyways, one of the things he said in his teaching, because he did teach later in the church, he said, unforgiveness is the greatest prison a person could ever put you in. You put yourself in. And that stuck with me. And I also want to say this too, and it's already been said. You don't wait for somebody to say, I'm sorry. You can't, because that will ruin you. If you're mad at somebody for their offense, you can't wait for them to say you're sorry. Whether they ever come to you and say they're sorry. You can't wait, because if you hold on to that bitterness, it ruins you. And, you know, and they are God's witness, you know, but to love genuinely. And then somebody else already said it to me. We were talking about prayer, and I think it was this sister right here. Tell me her name, or Phyllis. Phyllis shared this with me. And I had a similar experience. She said she had a very bad experience with a woman, and the Lord caused her to pray for this woman. And as she prayed for this woman, the Lord filled her heart with love for her forgiveness. And I had a very similar thing. There was a man in my life that I could not stand. I could not stand him. And I know the Lord dealt with me about it. God love, right? And that's what I did. He had an affliction in his body. The Lord caused me to start praying for him. I don't even know why. But I really did start praying for him. And the next time I saw him, it was the most beautiful thing, because there was no pretense. I truly loved him. And that's what was spoken about today, about unfeigned love and unfeigned faith. It's not pretend.
Yes.
It's genuine. And, you know, I was so thankful for that, because God's looking for genuine in our lives. And I was thrilled. I thought, Lord, how did you do that? And you know what? I never thought a crummy thought about that guy ever again. I truly did love him.
Great.
He wasn't necessarily any different or whatever. I thought I couldn't stand about him. It didn't matter anymore, because I loved him. And I'm so thankful for that experience, because it was precious to me. And I have to be excused because I need the restroom. So pardon me. I don't know where the lady is. She's going to give her testimony.
I just want to thank all you ladies. You have been amazing. And I want to give you a round of applause for everything that you've done this weekend. And even the ones in the kitchen, I'm not even sure. I don't know. Anyway. My name's Tanise. I'm Alicia's mom. And yeah, we've been through some things. But this last year really showed me a part of myself, and God just kind of slapped me. I went out with a friend, or I thought it was a friend, went out on the semi. If you ever want to test your friendship with somebody, spend 4 months on a semi with them, 24/7. Get up when they do, go to sleep when they do, and eat. If there is edibles. But yeah, that will test every ounce of you. And I thought, okay, what is God doing? Because when I started, I weighed 345 pounds. When I got off the truck 5 months later, I weighed 218. My heart rate when I got off the bus, when I got off the semi, was 37. So that tells you my body was shutting down. When I was on there, I wrote this letter to God. And it says, Dear God, I come to you humbly and I cry. With tears that have turned into salt on my face because the words have escaped my voice. I lift my hands to the heavens with my hands open wide. I offer my heart and open wide from the shame and that I have made, the choices that left scars so deep, Father, I cry to you now, and the light in me feels so dim. And my tears left me in silence to the point my heart was crying out from my spirit. I don't want to let the light die. I don't want to die. In this world of darkness and despair I've been in, my life feels like I had nothing left.
My words fell to the floor, my body slowly fading away, my spirit, Lord, fighting the fight at a pace that I walked into without fear. I'm praying and praising God. Nothing is left but dried tears. So as I humbly come to this altar, Lord, with family around, here where the battle has been fought, because my church family prayed for me, always. A child had wandered, lost to the shadow, not wanting to see another tomorrow was on the lips of my, was not wanting to see another tomorrow, was on the lips of the warriors in prayer that you had, O Lord, every promise fulfilled, every chain broken. May my light not die. May my life not be so locked in prayers that were sent. May blessings and grace be abound and love be here known by each. Know that your prayers are heard for each person that you pray for. I'm a testament that they are and that that person will return and they will be stronger. Just don't quit. Never quit praying for them. It might seem like they're millions of miles away. And believe me, there are times they feel it, but they might never come back from the choices that they've made because they feel like God doesn't care. And I just want to say that God does care, and God hears every single prayer that you pray for them.